from South Dakota Public Broadcasting. This is your SDPB News Podcast. I'm Jackson Dirks in Sioux Falls. Today, a look at a state Supreme Court case questioning if state constitutional protections for victims extend to police officers and their names, the School of Mines fundraising for scholarships, and even more. It's Thursday, March 19th. Here are today's stories. The South Dakota Supreme Court tackles the age-old question famously posed by William Shakespeare: what's in a name? Before an Augustana University audience, the state's high court heard oral arguments over whether Marcy's Law grants legal protections to a person's name. Marcy's Law provides protections for crime victims, including things like the right to be free from intimidation, harassment, and abuse. The law has faced criticism, as some law enforcement officers have used the state law to remain anonymous in shootings. The state Supreme Court took up the question if the law allows police officers to have their names redacted from public filings if they're a victim of a crime. State v. Albadani dates back to an incident last April. Two Sioux Falls police officers attempted to stop Shamir Albadani for a parole violation. He fired gunshots at the two officers, injuring one of them. Albadani got away but was later arrested in Beersford. The Minnehaha County State's Attorney Office used both officer names in legal paperwork. The officers invoked Marcy's Law, requesting the circuit court to seal their filings. The circuit court ruled Marcy's Law doesn't prevent a name from disclosure. The officers appealed. Kylie Beck is the attorney representing Albadani. She argued before the state Supreme Court that not including the officer names puts the defense at an unfair disadvantage.
What exactly is a name? You would need a name in order to pursue charges. You need a name to be able to investigate. While I understand the position is the name could be used to locate or harass, just the sheer fact of a name alone is not identifying its actions that could take place afterwards, which none of that has been alleged here.
Jeffrey Beck is the attorney representing the officers. He argues including law enforcement names could be used to locate and or harass them.
Here, this was just public filings, that we didn't want that information for public consumption. When we look at what can be done today for social media to look it up, the ability to harass.
A ruling is expected in the coming months. I'm SDPB's Jackson Dirks. The School of Mines has raised over $51 million to expand scholarships for prospective students. In an era where college education is increasingly unattainable for many, school representatives say it'll make a meaningful difference. SDPB's CJ Keene has more.
The money was raised largely via the school's 18,000 living alumni and key donors. The scholarship fund is coming out of a larger capital campaign that raised around $120 million. Mark Valancourt is the chief executive officer at the university's Center for Alumni Relations and Advancement.
The fabric of this community is woven so tight. When there's a need, whether it's to put up a building like we did with Nucor as part of this campaign, or expand CERBAC, or raise $50 million in scholarship dollars that will help remove barriers to education for the next generation of student, our community, I will put them against any other university community. They are second to none.
52% of degree-seeking Mines students are on some form of scholarship. Valancourt says this influx of money will make a meaningful dent in the lives of students.
I mean, we are a nationally ranked top 10 school for STEM, science and engineering. But our campus it's a small community. Think about a student who is working through calculus or is in mechanical engineering. And then all of a sudden at 4 o'clock, they got to leave school and got to go work a part-time job, right? So that helps remove that barrier and allows our students to really focus in on this important part of their lives.
Valancourt reflected on a recent conversation with the university president, Brian Tandy, in which Tandy said a priority of his was to minimize student debt burden for Mines students.
That's a vision, right? So how do we get there? One scholarship at a time, right? And this campaign, $51.2 million, takes a giant step toward that ultimate goal.
The university seeks to use these scholarships to bolster STEM-specific fields. I'm SDPB's CJ Keene in Rapid City.
State Game Fish and Parks officials have euthanized a mountain lion in downtown Sioux Falls. That's according to GFNP. Police say they received several reports of the animal Wednesday morning. Animal Control worked with GFNP to analyze several photos and videos to confirm it was a young mountain lion. GFNP monitored the lion throughout the day, and in the afternoon, the lion was near the public. The animal showed no signs of leaving and wasn't afraid of humans. The Mountain Lion Response Protocol is to euthanize the lion in this situation. GFNP staff inspected the mountain lion's body. It was thin and had a pre-existing injury to the abdomen. That could be why the animal wouldn't leave the area. The last time a mountain lion was spotted in Sioux Falls was 2023. South Dakota is joining a group of states suing a bank over what officials say is misleading consumer practices. Attorney General Marty Jackley says a bipartisan group of 13 attorneys general are filing a lawsuit against OneMain Financial. Jackley says the company packs its loans with senseless insurance policies and other add-on products. He says consumers were forced to pay for services they never agreed to and didn't need. OneMain Financial has branches in Rapid City, Sioux Falls, and Watertown. It's unclear how many South Dakota customers have been impacted. Governor Larry Rodin signs a bill repealing South Dakota's industrial hemp program. SB 39 was brought by the State Department of Agriculture and Natural Resources. The department says the bill transfers regulatory authority over hemp farming back to the USDA. Nebraska and other states in the region recently made similar moves. Brian Walsh is the state's Deputy Secretary of Ag and Natural Resources. During committee testimony on the bill, he said the state's hemp program is not financially sustainable, noting fees collected from hemp farmers only paid for 11% of the program. The rest came from general funds. Walsh said repealing the program helps the hemp industry in several ways.
For one, USDA does not charge a license fee for our hemp growers. Two, USDA does not regulate processors, eliminating that layer of oversight. We believe this will save taxpayer general fund dollars, approximately $200,000, and eliminate that fee for those growers.
The bill maintains provisions of state law regulating hemp-derived cannabis-based intoxicants like THC. Governor Rodin signed the bill with a group of others he called good government bills that reduce regulations and streamline state government. A Rapid City elementary school boosts firefighters battling the Cory Fire in the Black Hills with a special lunch. Students at Rapid Valley Elementary decorated 375 lunch bags for crew members fighting the wildfire near Custer. The bags featured artwork and messages of support. Officials say several local restaurants have also helped with catering during the week-long battle against the fire. Governor Larry Rodin visited the area yesterday to monitor the situation. He's asking South Dakotans to pray for firefighters and those impacted. Officials say the Cory Fire has burned more than 9,000 acres. It's currently 44% contained. The Pennington County Emergency Management Office issued a go-now evacuation order for a wildland fire near Rockerville Wednesday. It's the second fire mandating evacuations. The Coyote Flats fire is described as very active, and smoke columns can be seen from Rapid City. The fire is stretching from Coyote Flats to Neck Yoke Road. Firefighting helicopters have been seen dropping water over the fire. The National Weather Service reports the Southern Hills in a red flag warning and the Rapid City area in a hazardous weather outlook. These are fire-friendly conditions and will complicate the ongoing firefighting progress. This comes as crews continue battling a large wildfire near Custer, and a massive blaze in western Nebraska has burned more than 800,000 acres. As the NCAA March Madness tournament gets in full swing, the South Dakota State University women's basketball team plays tomorrow afternoon. SDSU earned an automatic bid to the tournament by winning the Summit League Conference tournament. The 11th seed Jackrabbits take on the 6th seed University of Washington Huskies. SDSU is coming off a 10-game win streak. This is the fourth straight year the team has made the tournament and the 14th time in 18 seasons. You can watch the game at ESPN News and listen on the radio at the Jackrabbit Sports Network. The game begins at 1:30 Central, 12:30 Mountain tomorrow. To find a link to watch, visit gojacks.com. South Dakota's basketball frenzy continues into its second weekend with the State Boys High School Basketball Championships.
It's your morning in play. I'm STPP's Josh Shilson, joined this morning by STPP sports content producer Nate Weck. Nate, how are you doing this morning?
I'm doing well, Josh. How about you?
I am doing great. So last weekend was girls' high school basketball championships. This week's the boys. You're in Rapid City, where there's actually two of the classes are playing this weekend. What should we be looking out for?
Yeah, the class AA boys is going to be taking place in the Ice Arena, which is still at the Monument Complex, but it's where the Rapid City Rush plays. So that's where the AA tournament is going to be taking place. There's a lot of eyes on, obviously, Sioux Falls Lincoln, who has just been undoubtedly the top team all year long. You know, they're heavily favored to win this one. But when you really start digging deep, you know, who do they play here starting today? Well, they play T Area, who's played Brandt or who's played Sioux Falls Lincoln close this year. Key Area is one of those teams. They played them close at Sioux Falls Lincoln earlier in the year. So you look at that and you go, maybe it's not as big of a gap as that, as we usually see in that first quarterfinal matchup. You know, and then you've got some other good teams and stuff here too. You know, I do want to make a quick mention with Watertown. You know, what a turnaround season they had. I believe they only won 6 or 7 games a year ago. So for them to get all the way to the state tournament and have a phenomenal season is a big boost for them. Huron has one of the best basketball players in the state with Elwine. He's a terrific, terrific scorer, really intelligent basketball player. So, I mean, you've got some variables here, I think, with the double A that are going to make it exciting. And then just across the hallway in the Summit Arena is going to be the A Boys Tournament. Now, the top part of this tournament that makes it a little bit interesting is West Central, and all the media polls all year was basically rated as the top team. Well, because of the way the seed points and those power rankings work out in the formula through the High School Activity Association, West Central actually got the 2 seed. Sioux Falls Christian has the 1 seed. Sioux Falls Christian, the defending champions. So they're coming in, and both those teams obviously on opposite sides of the bracket, which will make it fun. You got Clarkwell Lake that's also in the A tournament. That's a really good team, plays really good defense. So it'll be interesting to see kind of how they handle things on this type of stage too with Jerome Neschenheim's team. So, and again, I'm just giving a quick little preview on some of the teams. There's a lot more information that we covered on this week's SDPB Game Time show with me and Jason and Daryl. We really dive deep. So if you want a little bit more, you can kind of tune into that show and get a good tournament preview. And then Aberdeen is hosting once again the Class B Boys Tournament. This is, in my opinion, going to be one of the most open fields that we've seen with Class B in a while. Vibert Hurley's the number one. You've got one of the hottest teams in Freeman that's there. You got Castle with the defending champs that are back and starting to play some really good ball. You got DeSmet, who's got Grant Wilkinson, who's one of the top D-boys basketball players in the state. So, you know, you start looking at all of these variables, especially with the B tournament, and I think, you know, it could go a lot of different directions. It's one of those tournaments, Josh, where you restart it the next week and you might get a completely different result.
It should be exciting. Nate, how can we watch these tournaments?
Yeah, so all 3 tournaments are going to be on television on our 3 channels, also available on sdpb.org/basketball. And then honestly, for smart TV users, people that are, you know, maybe on the go, want to watch on their phone, all of the games are going to be streamed again this week on SDPB's YouTube channel. So those are the best ways to watch all the coverage. And yep, we'll have coverage of all 36 games again here over these next 3 days.
Hey, Nate, looking forward to following your coverage. Good luck.
All right, thanks, Josh. Appreciate it.
And that's your daily news update. Make sure to follow us on Facebook, X, and YouTube at SDPB News, and visit sdpb.org/news to stay up to date on our journalism as it comes in. As always, thanks for listening.